And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, 24 September 2025. I'm Doug Hagmann. Thank you for having me tonight. A lot of stuff to get into. The second hour, Coach Dave is going to join me in the second hour. I'm so glad he is because, as I said last night, you know, and folks, please understand where I'm coming from. I'm coming from, in at least in my, based on my perspective, a realistic assessment of where we're at. And I think where we're at demands our action, not our words, not our social media postings, not our video postings, but our action. And we cannot, at least in my view, as I said yesterday, opening or close to opening here, with age comes wisdom. Hopefully it comes wisdom. And we have abandoned the unspoken code of civility, decency, respect, discipline. We've abandoned all of that. And we abandoned what we have been taught in our youth, if you were so lucky. And that is character. Character, as I said yesterday, forged in humility and trial. Not self-promotion. Not this self-aggrandizement. Not applause. Not how many friends or followers we have, because they're neither. And when you look at the news, I question everything I see today. I had the occasion to talk with someone very close to me today and locally. And we were talking about where we're at as a nation. And he said, look, we've been lied to. We're being lied to. And now there is people, ordinary, his circle of friends, far different than from mine, but his circle of friends are beginning to wake up to the fact that the lies are here. It's like same boss or new boss, same as the old boss kind of mentality. And I certainly agree with that. So when I'm looking at this from my perspective, I have to ask myself, okay, so how best could I get us off? Or at least from my perspective, what's the best use of my time, my efforts, my energy? And I think, well, you know, a social media, a tweet or whatever, exposing, it's not going to do it. It's just not going to do it. We've got to take action. And so with Coach Dave, I'm going to ask him flat out, okay, so if you believe we can turn this around, and if there's any man on the planet, I suspect, that could motivate and galvanize an army, it's Dave Dobmeier. What do we do? In your estimation, where we're at, what do we do? So that's coming up. But one thing that we were talking about was the very visible or very the dramatic events of that very horrible shooting of assassination of Charlie Kirk. There is nothing. There is absolutely nothing that we have been told that is correct about that. Well, aside from the very, very, very basics, okay, very basics, but there's nothing. There's no truth coming out about that. And then you've got all sorts of people, which is fine, you know, looking at different aspects of things and, okay. But there's a bigger problem with that. Let's just say that you found convincible evidence in that case based on open source information or whatever, that something different happened that day with that event. Okay, fine. How many people do you think, because of the indoctrination that we have already been subjected, the mass population, the majority of the population has been subjected to, how many people are going to say, hey, you know what? You're right. So you might have the answers. The question I have for you, what are you going to do with them? And this brings me into the crux of the program. Yesterday, I thought I did an okay job of drilling down into the capture of America from within. I thought I did pretty well. And folks, if you haven't watched it, give me a chance. Go back and watch yesterday's program. Or go, if you haven't done so, watch yesterday's program. And even more than that, do me a favor. Go to the links in the program description box at HagmanPI.com and go for that. And watch those links. Because to me, I didn't play them all, obviously. I didn't show them all, but there's a lot there. But here's where I'm at right now. We're being told, I mean, aside from the news of the day, look, there was a shooting at an ICE facility. Does that surprise you? Does any of this surprise you that, we don't know the motive of the shooter? Okay. But I might add, he did not shoot he did not cause death to any of the ICE agents. He actually shot the people that were in custody. I suspect accidentally, or it was a shoot and pray kind of thing. But you have grown adults supposedly in positions of authority saying, I don't know his motive. What's his motive? Well, conveniently, they're written on the cartridges at the scene. Anti-ICE. I mean, it's all against ICE. And then you have all the people going against ICE. But what are they going against? What exactly, the bottom line, what are they doing? They don't want a diverse country of coexistence. No, no. They want the invasion of the U.S., like we saw under Biden, and quite frankly, all throughout the 21st century. This unfettered invasion into the U.S. right up until January of this year, when it got so obvious, so bad, my gosh, we got to do something to it. And you know, you look at President Trump and you say, well, wait a second, now he's... Oh my goodness. Now he's like waffling on Ukraine. Well, there are other factors in there that people aren't really seeing. Moldova elections on the 28th, but I'm not going to get into all that. Now I'm looking at the bigger picture here. I want to stick to the larger issues, because if we don't get the larger issues, we're not going to understand all of the granular level detail as to what makes up what's going on. I've got just a series of video clips, just, I don't know how many, 3, 4, 5, something like that, that I thought, okay, these are worthy of citing. You do know, folks, that there's talk. Of course, there's grand juries now in the Eastern District of Virginia, you know, going to indict, perhaps. Looks like James Comey's going to be indicted. Okay, well. Yeah, you better hurry up on that, because you have until, I don't know, you only have maybe 6 days left regarding the statute of limitations. And within these clips, there are 5 here that I selected, a few short ones and 2 longer, over 2-minute ones. What are you going to do? you, if the crimes of the previous regime, if the crimes of people like James Comey, John Brennan, and others go unpunished, and I should add this in case you missed this or didn't hear about this, you know, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page in total received $1.2 million of our tax dollars in a settlement under Biden. You know, the FBI agent and the DOJ lawyer, the texts that were released and saying, you know, we've got an insurance policy to make sure Trump isn't elected, muddling in our election process. Much the same as Comey, much the same as pretty much all of the usual characters, cast of characters. There is a question here. Again, a bigger question. Do we have the stones to prosecute? And then take a step back. And what's the real issue here? What's the real war, the larger war about? And that's good versus evil. So I'm going to start with video four, cut four. It's only 53 seconds long. I want you to listen to this because perhaps in my view, the most evil person on the planet, in the world, at least of the female, most evil female is Hillary Clinton. And when you understand the good versus evil part of what we're facing, well, okay, it does make sense that she is out and about and just saying, you know, expressing her, or showing, illustrating for all to see her war against Christians. It's not a political war. I mean, it's that, but it's not just a political war. It's a war against Christians. And at the very root of everything, this is a war between good and evil. So how are we going to fight that war? Are we going to sit back in our prayer closets, shut the door and pray? That's okay, fine. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But are we going to only do that? No, we've got to do something. We have to do something. And when I say that, I really, and I said this yesterday, of course, and look, I can't control who uses CommyTube or YouTube or whatever. I don't know. I mean, I don't care. Okay. I'm dealing with stuff I have control over. If somebody else uses YouTube, fine. I'm talking from my perspective. Don't give me this crap and this shit. Oh, you know, so-and-so is on YouTube. I don't care. I can control what I do, not what somebody else does. Now, here's cut four. But the bottom line is this. Let me finish that thought. I have never seen the most discombobulated. I mean, people are all over the place. The Christian conservatives, the patriots, the let's make America great. They're all over the friggin' place. Is there any cohesiveness to our efforts? No. Not. I have. Show me where there is. Maybe I'm missing it. Is it over there? Is it over there? I don't know. Show you what we're up against. This is cut four. This, to me, kind of cuts right to the center of the issue. This is a sentiment of pretty much every, on the left of political left, this is that sentiment on everybody left of center on the political spectrum. But this is pretty much, in my view, the driver of everyone. Well, pretty much every enemy of what we hold dear as conservatives, Christians, as people of morals, of ethics, of civility. This is the antithesis of that and the larger statement expressing that. Here's cut four. Hillary Clinton warning against the rise of Christianity. Now she's saying the quiet part out loud. Here it is, cut four.
we haven't gotten to the more perfect union, and we fought a civil war over part of it. Mm-hmm. And people have been protesting, you know, for hundreds of years that, you know, things were not as they should be, given our ideals and how we should be moving toward them. So I think that's what makes us so special as a country. And the idea that you could turn the clock back and try to recreate a world that never was, dominated by, you know, let's say it, white men of a certain persuasion, a certain religion, a certain point of view, a certain ideology, is just doing such damage to what we should be aiming for. And we were on the path toward that. I mean, imperfectly, lots of, you know, bumps along the way. But I agree with you. We were on the right trajectory.
Let me.
Huh. So, okay. Do I need to play that again? I'm just asking the chat here. Did you hear that, or are you too busy typing? I'm just asking. Did you hear what you said? And did you understand that? I'm not trying to be condescending. I'm just asking a question here. Look, they hate you. You understand that. They hate God. They hate the family, the family. They hate the biological or the biblical male and the female and everything that the biblical male represents and the female represents. They hate all of that. They hate everything that is good. So how do you combat that? Okay. And I noticed someone in the chat. Yeah, it's always with prayer, always with prayer. Absolutely. But I ask you again, do you in your heart of hearts believe that prayer and prayer alone is going to solve where we're at? If you do, I don't know what to say to you, because God gave us this life, the time we have to do something. Yes, to serve him, to pray. Yeah, I get all that. Absolutely. But that to me is like, well, if I chew gum, I really can't walk. No, you can do both. You can hold a Bible and a sword, and you can take that verbatim or metaphorically. I don't care, but you can do both. There's examples, biblical, scriptural examples, Bible examples, where you can do both and should do both. But okay, so I understand this. Again, the people who are attempting to, and I believe successfully in some cases, showing what's wrong with what happened on the 10th. Oh my gosh! I'm not going to get into everything, but nothing we were told, nothing we've been told, really is the truth. But yet, wait. This happened with Kash Patel as the head of the FBI, Dan Bongino as deputy director of the FBI, with Pam Bondi, the head of the Justice Department, and President Trump as the president of the United States, all friendly with the victim in this case, at different levels, of course. So we can't get the truth. The American people can't get the truth about that one event. So what makes you think we're going to get the truth about anything? What makes you think that justice is going to prevail? I don't want to seem like I'm a downer here. I just want to bring you forward to today, your mind. What makes you think we're going to see justice? In the last several years, the cases, and I'm talking about the professional stuff that I've done, I have seen justice die. And I'm sad to say that on a local level, and on a much larger level. I'm sure you can figure out what I referenced there. But I've seen I have seen investigative work products being ignored and consequential to that justice die. So what do you do with that? I'm going to go to this one here, this next cut. Yeah, because here's the thing. Here's the thing, too. We have people out there in power, elected officials. For example, there was I didn't grab this one video clip of a member of the House in Michigan admitting to the fact that she was here in this country illegally. We have admissions all over the place. Back in early, you know, when I first began my career, investigative career, and working with prosecutors at different levels, how great would that have been? We wouldn't have had to work for anything. They were confessing on social media. I mean, there was no social media back then, but they were confessing. How great is that? Yeah, I'm here illegally. Oh, yes, I did this and I did that. And basically, they're looking at us and saying, what are you going to do about it? But it gets worse. Here's what they're doing. Just as a reality check, this is what they're doing about it. Cut three, 37 seconds. Cut three. You already heard, by the way, cut four, which is Hillary Clinton saying the Christian ideology, the Christian male, the Christian, everything Christian, that's what's wrong with our nation. So that's a declaration of war in Christianity. We should not be surprised because that's been forever. And that's been that's them. I mean, that is who they are. So we should not be surprised. Nor should we be surprised about anything that we're about to see. But let me show you this. Here's Pramila Jayapal. The reason I started off hot is because they're telling you that they're coming after you. Do you understand that? Do you get that? Sometimes I think the people that I talk to don't understand that they're coming after you. They're coming after me. They're coming after our families. They're coming after our way of life. They're not set. Look, there's no intent to coexist. You can't talk to these. You understand they have declared war on us. And we're going to sit with our thumbs up our butts and do nothing? Are you serious? Well, you don't believe me? Cut three. 37 seconds. Here's Jayapal, that classic moron scumbag. Here, play it.
We might call this getting strike ready. I think of it as getting us strike ready or street ready. And part of that is understanding our own strength. And as we develop that strength, being able to assess our risk tolerance, because we know that risk tolerance increases as the severity of the situation increases and as our own understanding of what's happening increases. So overall, the more we understand what's effective, what the risks are, and who's ready to participate, the more impact we can have. We might call.
All right. Is there anybody that has any question about that? Is there any ambiguity in that? Kind of like the mash of leftists with, you know, that loudmouth, blabbermouth, Maxine Waters. Okay, hit him in the streets. Hit him in the streets. Calling for violence. I mean... They've already said what they're going to do. And then we watched a young man's head getting blown off. They're doing it. And we're saying, well, you know, just got to pray. Yes, we do. Well, it's all right. We got Cash and Dan and Pat Bondi in there and Trump in there. It's okay. Look. I'm not. Believe me, I'm glad they're in there. But being there and not doing a damn thing or being blinded, perhaps within your own organization. That's a problem. That's a big problem. So then I came across this. And you know what? Let me just explain something here. Let me just reiterate this. Do I give a crap about followers? Do I give a crap about who puts out my show? Grabs my show and puts it on their airwaves? No. The way I look at it is, I'm not sure I'll be here next year. As simple as that. You know, God has given us the gift of time, and we only have so much time. Now, don't read anything into that. I'm just saying, I look, who knows how long we all have, right? So that is kind of a freeing, that kind of frees you up a little bit, right? It has freed me up. I'm not holding back on anything. I have no problem doing that. But I want it to be for a righteous cause. It's got to be for a righteous cause. It's got to serve the God of heaven. We've got to preserve what God has created, and that is, you know, the biological man, the biological woman, nothing else. The nuclear family, nothing else. No Steve and Robert. No, sorry, that ain't gonna work. The plumbing doesn't work. I guess if you force it, have you ever seen me try to fix plumbing? Not Eve and Amanda. Okay. Not trannies, because when you tell me trannies, I think of like a Camaro with a transmission problem. You're a boomer. You've got to become more enlightened. Yeah, okay. No, we don't. You see that? I can't wait for Coach Dave. I want him to talk about that, because he was the first one who said, you know, this homo marriage, the approval of homo marriage, that's just the beginning. And of course, he was right. I'm sure I've got some audios from back then, if not videos. I want you to take a look at cut one in the show notes. This caught my attention because this strikes at the very heart of what I'm talking about. Are we going to see justice? Or again, with the discussion of James Comey. Oh, they're going to indict him. Well, they better hurry up. And how long have they had? Because the statute of limitations, as I understand it, on some of the crimes, they're running out. What about Brendan Clapper? What about the names on the 51, names of the 51 that signed off on that briefing or that letter? What about others who have committed offenses against our republic and ultimately treason? What about Obama? A lot of gum smacking about Obama, right? And what? Yeah, boy, we could do an entire 3-4 days. Well, Epstein, you know, there's really no list. Okay, you know, so help me with that. It's kind of like with that, I look at that like this. Remember how with the various shootings, there were etchings on the cartridges of the ammunition used. I saw with the shooting at the ICE facility in Texas, Dallas today, I heard the same language used, and they showed a picture of the cartridges. Boy, etching seems to be a little bit I guess people don't really get the fact that a Sharpie is not an etched. No, it was comments were it was done with a Sharpie. It was there was writing on the cartridge, but it wasn't etched. At least what I saw. So again, words mean things. And in some cases can change the outcome of, let's say, if you etched a ammunition cartridge, could that affect the trajectory of the projectile? I don't know. Can it? But if you write a message with a Sharpie, does that have any effect on it? Again, just an odd example where my brain goes. But anyway. So, okay. So it brings me, everything I just said brings me to this point here. Grant Stitchfield, I like Grant a lot. And he's on Real America's Voice. He was talking with Ivan Raiklin. This is just tonight, a couple hours ago. And there was this discussion. The title of the video is Time is Now for Retribution. Oh, caught my attention. And so I had to watch it, and I watched it twice, and I figured, you know what? I'm going to show you guys this, or you people this. Sorry to the ladies out there. My apologies. But I want to show you this and kind of absorb what they're talking about and the depth of what's being said. And then focus on that one question. Do they have the stones? Does Cash, does Bongino, does Bondi, do they have the stones? Do they have what it takes to get the job done? And think about their answer. Here, this is cut one. Here it is.
All right, Bolton, Comey. Comey, really, I need them going after. But your assessment now.
Yeah, my assessment is that we just got a brand new U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia. And for those that are paying attention at home, James Comey lives, I believe, in the Eastern District of Virginia's Alexandria Division. That includes Arlington, Alexandria, Fairfax County, Loudoun County. So if you're a potential juror in that jury pool, once the criminal referral goes over and is processed, I would be honored to be the jury foreman at the Jim Comey trial because, well, I'm a voting registered member of that particular district. And as the most impartial human being in that district, it would be very important to have me be the jury foreman at the Jim Comey trial.
Well, I'll tell you this. I would love it if you were the jury foreman there. They will never let you get even close to being on that jury, but they should because you are impartial, by the way. Let me ask you this, though. As an impartial investigator into all of this, are there other lies? Are there other people besides Comey we got to be going after?
Yeah, so I haven't seen anything related to this other than what the media has been talking about. But I think that the criminal referral based on lying to Congress, that's essentially a Section 1000, 18 U.S.C. Section 1001 violation. And under that statute, the statute of limitations is 5 years. But that is not the only criminal offense that he should be charged with. He should be charged with, obviously, multiple crimes, First Amendment violations at scale. Obviously, you can claim that's civil issues, Fourth Amendment at scale, as is when he was the director of the FBI. But in addition to that, I mean, you can see that there's evidence for seditious conspiracy as well as treason. So treason holds a capital maximum punishment of a capital punishment. So any crime, any felony with a capital offense attached to it does not carry a statute of limitations. And so while right now we're not hearing anything about him being charged with that, I think that ultimately you will start to see superseding charges similar to what was done to the January 6th First Amendment rally attendees. And then we can slap on further charges on Jim Comey. If not now, then I would expect it to occur. And even if it isn't done in the next, say, year or two, it can still be done at a next administration as the criminal liability on Jim Comey starts to increase.
As a constitutional attorney, in order to get to the treason charge, do we have to
prove
somehow?
Can you pause that for a second? Okay. And I just, you can just drop that and restart it here. I just want to make a point of that. You heard what he said, right? Obviously, there are there are statute of limitations attached to different charges. You don't have to go to law school to really understand the fact that certain felonies, the statute of limitations expires, whether it's 5 years or 10 years, and other such crimes can be prosecuted. There's no statute of limitations. For example, murder, no statute of limitations. And I just spoke with a detective on a case dating back, believe it or not, to 1978. Okay. Wanted to take a look at my file from that. And but I should add this. There's no chance in hell that the perpetrator is listening to this. Actually, there were two, but to the younger one, enjoy your freedom while you can, and you're going to be answering to God. So I'll stop there, but boy, when you talk about treason against a country, when you talk about seditious conspiracy, when you talk about, you know, putting the thumb on the scale to change the outcome of an election, what are we talking about? And to those people in chat, look, I love you guys. Okay, justice is up to God. Well, yeah. I'm not talking about revenge. I'm not talking about vengeance. I'm talking about justice. It may be up to God ultimately, but it's up to us to do everything in our power to see that justice is done. And if you don't agree with me on that, that's fine. Live your life. Go in peace. God bless you. It's justice that we seek. The conversation initially, which you heard, of course, a little lighthearted conversation about him being a foreman. Okay, yeah, never happened. Obviously, that was kind of a lighthearted part of the conversation. But the other part, even if it extends into the further administrations or the next administration, it can still be prosecuted. No, wait a second. You're telling me that we're going to allow a criminal, an alleged criminal, who has done a lot to harm this country, we're going to allow that person to continue, cutesy stuff like 8647 and seashells on the beach and saying, I didn't know, I just found it. I didn't know what that means. You're the friggin' director of the FBI. What's wrong with you? Yeah, I mean, you think we're stupid? And by the way, it's my understanding on airlines and public squares and places, 8647 is not a problem, but honoring Charlie Kirk with a shirt with freedom on it, that's offensive and people have to take those off, but 8647 is okay. You see, that's the problem we have. That speaks to the heart of the problem that we have. We can tolerate that. We'll say, okay, well, I'll get off the plane, I guess, or I'll turn my shirt inside out. Bullshit. I ain't doing that. You can stick it right up your backside. I am not doing that. I should add, that's why no one will fly with me, okay? But that's why I don't fly. Now you can ask Eric the Tech how the last flight we took together ended up. Okay, let's go on with this and pay close attention now to the question arises. Do the people here have the guts to do what needs to be done? This is kind of enlightening to me. I mean, for it to be spoken aloud. Here it is, the rest of it.
That he aided and abetted a foreign enemy.
most people equate that to a foreign enemy. But I'll tell you this, that I think the nexus will be clear, because once you start to showcase how his own FBI was involved in providing top cover for the Biden criminal syndicate that we all know received bribe money and aided and abetted a foreign enemy such as the Chinese Communist Party, such as some of the dealings in Ukraine, you're going to start to see that nexus not only with Jim Comey, but I think more importantly, John Brennan as the former CIA director. So as this, as we go after Comey, then you'll start to see the entire deep state target list being ensnared into this entire seditious conspiracy. And then we'll have to showcase that foreign nexus to then be able to get to treason on all of them.
Colonel, real quick before I let you go, I think the most important question is, even a Trump administration under Pam Bondi with Cash Patel at the FBI, does this administration, the people inside the DOJ, have the stones to actually bring these kind of serious charges against people like Clapper and Brennan and Comey, real quick, if you can, for me?
I hate to say this, that you know these people probably better than I do. And I know Cash and Dan and Pam and others in the administration. They don't. They do not have the courage to do what is necessary. And they've shown that by not hiring the whistleblowers into their higher, like senior level staff, to be able to protect them from those in the FBI that are feeding them complete lies, that are operating on behalf of the Jim Comeys of the world. And so 8 months into this, they don't have the stones. And that is why there needs to be a complete cleansing of the entire Department of Justice. And we need to bring in people that really don't care what happens to themselves to then go to the mat. I mean, mutually assured destruction, I think, is a victory in this situation for the Republic. And I'm willing to go to the mat. And there are many others.
I know you are, for sure. And I am as well. And so many out there watching are. I will say this. I believe it's not only on Cash and Bongino and Bondi. I believe there is a level higher than them, them and President Trump. And
David Warrington needs to be questioned about his intensity and zeal at going after these people. Because at the end of the day, he is the senior White House counsel.
And there you have it. So senior White House counsel, if you think back, if you were alive and paying attention during Watergate, well, okay, the senior White House counsel, well, without even getting involved in that, I suppose we could take a look at what he just said. And yeah, so you have, let me just get this straight. You have Cash Patel, who wrote Government Gangsters and laid out, really nicely done, laid out the case against, I don't know, 40 plus people in the government, laid the case out of criminal actions of these individuals in his book. And then you have Dan Bongino, the author of a couple of books, including Spygate, laying out the investigative work of others, and as well as his, but the investigative work of others, making the case, the criminal case. Actually, both books, Cash Patel and Dan, both works laying out the criminal case. The work has already been done. The investigations have been done. Now that you pounded on the desk, you yelled. You were just a presence. People followed you. People said, yeah, cheered you on. Now you're deputy director of the FBI, having already investigated the criminals, written books about it. Cash, you too. And here we are. And you've got this man saying, again, the quiet part out loud. Yep, yeah. Do they have the stones? Nope, nope. We need somebody in there who doesn't give a crap. You know, I agree with that. I'm not qualified, but hey, somebody with my attitude, I don't care. I just don't care. So, and I'm going to close with this before Coach Dobmer comes on. I got to thinking, did we ever have somebody like that in this country? We did. And I'm not saying great minds think alike, but this caught my attention because as I was reaching for the very book referenced in this segment popped up and I thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to listen to that. I'm going to watch that. What happened to the members of the chat? Who in modern recent history, I'm talking about post-World War II, has there been anyone with the guts to say, hey, you, Mr. So-and-so, are in the government and you are a communist and you are acting against the interests of our government? Has there been anyone like that? Chat? Anyone? Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to keep you guessing. I know people don't like guessing games. So here is Steve Bannon. You got to read this book, Blacklisted by History, by M. Stanton Evans. I've had numerous discussions with Dinah West, who is really like a modern day Stanton Evans, M. Stanton Evans. And her works are great, but this Blacklist by History really gives you a great look about what happens when you start calling out the rot, the saboteurs within their own government. So to bring it to modern day perspective, here is cut five. Steve Bannon saying, hey, McCarthy was not wrong. And how many times have I said that McCarthy was not wrong? This is cut five. It's an extended play. Bear with me. I believe you'll do well by watching this and understanding what he's saying. But bring that forth to today. And this also gives you an idea of not what will likely happen, because we have not taken care of what already happened. We didn't stop Obama. People laughed, even people on the right, about the fact that he was a Manchurian candidate, that his birth certificate was a legend, that he was a CIA construct. Oh, that's all just BS. No, it's not. No, it's not. Mm-mm. How much damage did Obama do? And it's just not on the left, too. It's on the right. What about George W. Bush? What about the PNAC stuff? What about George Herbert Walker Bush? Believe me, no one's hands are clean in this. So just so you know, I'm an equal opportunity offender. I have no problem calling anybody out. This is not about right and left. This is about right and wrong. Here's cut five.
The blowhard then said, I think from the Atlantic, I think his name's Ford from the Atlantic, McCarthy is a book that you must read, and Ann Coulter says it's the second most important book in back of the Bible. That is Blacklisted by History by M. Stanton Evans, one of Buckley's, I think the editor of the National Review for decades and decades and decades. Blacklisted by History about the true story of McCarthy, and couple that with getting Andrew Breitbart's Righteous Indignation, which goes through the whole, not just Andrew's journey, but the whole thing about the Frankfurt School, Herbert Marcuse, the Marxism, because Marx, not communism, the economic system failed. None of the CCP guys in Beijing ain't communists. Trust me. They got a form of state capitalism. The Russians were not communist. They're Marxist. They're against the basic tenets of the Judeo-Christian West, of the foundational elements that have allowed us to rise to greatness. They hate that. And you see critical theory, critical race theory, and then what, queer theory or critical queer theory, whatever they call it. This is the descent into hell. That's Dante's Inferno. You know how right McCarthy was, and they hate him. You know how right he was? I think it was in 1950. He stood up and gave a 6-hour speech in the Senate. It's summarized in a book. I think it's called Retreat from History, Retreat from Victory. And I will make sure that I make this
practice. If you can pause that and drop that down,
I'll make sure that people.
I also want to point out back then, you know, the social media censorship that has taken place recently of conservative, of anyone who speaks the truth. It has gone on before, during, and even after Biden. Okay. Guaranteed. And it will continue. The censorship will continue. Now, the reason I brought that up is because he just referenced a speech, a 6-hour speech. There was one speech that he gave, that McCarthy gave. It was in West Virginia. Beautiful speech. It was carried in the newspaper. The partial texts of the speech were carried in the newspaper in West Virginia. And later, after they punished McCarthy, that speech disappeared. The text disappeared, from everywhere, from the newspaper. In other words, the archives were tampered with, and it was not there. That's perhaps one of the earliest forms of modern day censorship I can show you. So censorship is nothing new. But did you know that there was a speech that disappeared? And I would have to give you, I don't have it here. I do have the book Black. It's in that book, and it does go into detail that speech was excised from every place. Public. It's not in the National Archives. It's not in the archives of the papers. Nowhere to be found. Talk about censorship. And they also mentioned Andrew Breitbart. Are you okay with the fact that this man, the circumstances surrounding his death, are there no questions about that? Look, I know deaths from heart attack happen. I get that. I'm just saying, are you accepting of the explanation surrounding his death? So if they don't kill you, they treat you like McCarthy. McCarthy, if you understand what happened with him, well, he was made out to be a drunk. And ultimately drove him to drink, sadly. They really ruined him, which goes back to the other video that you saw. They need somebody in there who doesn't give a crap. They need somebody who does not give a damn about what happens to them and seeks only justice for the sake of justice, or else we won't have anything. Let's just finish this clip, and I'm going to bring Coach Dave Dobmeier on here. Let's just run this for another 2-3 minutes, and then we'll bring Coach Dave on. Here it is.
People can see it. He stands up for 6 hours, and he has one target. He knew Alinsky before Alinsky. McCarthy had one target. No, he was not a drunk. He had been a tail gunner for the Marine, and he did have a drinking problem later. But this time, McCarthy stood up for 6 hours in the United States Senate. And he took on the most prominent person in the country and the biggest globalist. And it hurts me as a Virginian to say this because he is revered and I revered him. You were raised, right, by people like Robert E. Lee and General Marshall. Okay? General Marshall, George Marshall. He takes on, Marshall is bigger than Eisenhower. Marshall's bigger than Truman. Marshall is, because he's the architect of victory. And he eviscerates this guy for 6 hours. And he gets all about who lost China. 1949, we essentially turned the country over to Mao and these bandits that didn't lift a finger to fight the Japanese. In fact, they fought the nationalists the entire time. And because of Edgar Snow and some neo-Marxists that went over there and wrote these glowing biographies about these agrarian populists, right, these agrarian reformers, right, they took this murderous dictatorship, was already in the making, and oh, this is so fantastic. We turned the country over to them in 1949, The Chinese Communist Party, they know this because in 1989, what, 50 years later, when they collapsed again because the Chinese people, Lao Beijing, had a belly full of it again, guess who bailed them out? Bush sent Scowcroft over, and we, the United States government, you, with all the blood that we had given in the Pacific, everything of all those islands, of Tarawa and Peleliu and Saipan and all of it, and all the dead over in the air raids over Japan, all the naval vessels left from Pearl Harbor all the way through, Coral Sea, add it all up. We gave China, which was the Imperial Japan, the whole fight was about China. And we gave it to the communists. We, your government, gave it to the communists, and McCarthy called them out. For 6 hours, he went through chapter and verse why we didn't go to Berlin, why he held up Montgomery and Patton from going to Berlin when we're like 50 miles away. Never, that has never been explained. Why did we stop? Why did we let the Red Army go? Why did we arm Stalin? They were our allies. The Russian people were the great allies. They gave in their blood to defeat the Wehrmacht. Why did we keep arming Stalin after 1943? When it was obvious he was going to crush him. The State Department and FDR's administration were rife, not just with communists. I'm talking KGB informants, KGB officers. And people like I.F. Stone and Alger Hiss that lied and covered up by the same people on Morning Joe today. The exact same people lied to the American people. And McCarthy stood up in the Senate and he called out Marshall. He had the guts and the balls to take on a guy that was essentially a god in the United States. If you had a secular god, it was General Marshall. And he took him on and he field stripped him. He field stripped him. Of how could we spend all this money and all this blood and win the greatest tragedy in world history? How can we be the victors? And you have the Russians have taken Germany. They've taken the Iron Curtain. You've got all Eastern Europe are captive nations. And now we just toss the keys to another great ally, the Chinese people, Lao Beijing. We toss the keys to the communists who, by the way, went about murdering them as course they can. And then invading Korea, right? And there we had to defend our great allies in South Korea or in the Korea Peninsula at that time.
Okay, you can cut that. Folks, I would urge you, the link will be at HagmanPI.com. I would urge you to watch the entire thing. You're listening to the Hagman Report. It's the top of the hour. Listening to the Hagman Report. With me right now is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, past assault ministers. I'm going to tell you something. If anyone can provide answers, direction, galvanize people, it's Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. And, you know, I have the utmost respect for this man. I've seen him do things that are beyond, seriously, I mean, beyond anything that I would ever. The guy is just a machine, a workhorse, and a righteous one at that. He deserves our support. He deserves our ear to listen to him. And folks, if you're not doing so already, tune into his morning meetings. I'm telling you what, you'll get a lot out of it. Join there. So with that, is Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. Coach, welcome, sir.
Man, Doug, thanks for the accolades. Just a guy doing my job, you know, just a guy doing my job. And probably, I apologize, a little hoarse, man. I had a horrible cold for the last couple of days, but I'm coming out of it. So just bear with me if I'm hacking on you guys a little bit this morning. What time to be alive, huh, Doug? What time to be alive?
Indeed. Yes. And And by the way, Coach, I apologize for dragging you out here with your voice, but you know, I need a voice because here's where I'm at. I'm just going to tell you right flat where I'm at. We're getting right now. We have President Trump in office as the president of the United States. And I believe that, you know, look, I believe in the guy, in his ideas, in his intent. I believe in all that. But I believe he's getting sabotaged from every level. I believe. And by the way, he's certainly not a minister. He's not he's a man with a purpose for a purpose. OK, so that's number one. Number two, we have Kash Patel as director of the FBI. He wrote the book Government Gangsters, laying out the criminality of like more than three dozen people in office right now. Some gone, some there. They're still there. And he, but he wrote the, he basically wrote indictments in that book, as did Dan Bongino, wrote the, did the investigation, wrote the indictments. And then, of course, Bondi. But we're not seeing any movement. So I'm asking myself, what in the hell is going on? I want to know, because I want to see some friggin' heads on pikes out there for what they've done to this country. So I turn to you, because you're a classier man than I am. and you're, so I turn to you and I ask the question, here we are. Are we going to bitch about this? Or are we going to do something about this? And if we're going to do something about it, what do we do? Go ahead, sir. But go anywhere you want.
Well, let me start with the whole Donald Trump thing and Christianity, because like everybody else, I hear all kinds of assaults, really, from people who you would think would be on our side, that Donald Trump's not Christian enough for them. Is he really Christian? Yada yada. You know how the story goes. And I try to tell people that, number one, you don't have to be a man of God in order to be God's man. And I think if you go through history and you look all through the Bible, God used a lot of people that really wouldn't be the type of people that you would expect him to use, right? So the Lord gives us, the Bible says that God raises up leaders and he brings them down. So we'd have to acknowledge, love him or like him or whatever, Donald Trump's a disruptor. And I say to everybody who I get a chance to speak with, I say, listen, if Donald Trump's playing for the other team, we're screwed. I mean, it's just pretty much that simple. And if he's not playing for the other team, then we need to get in line and follow behind him. But that's really where the debate is. Because I agree with you. You know, think about Bongino and Patel and all those guys. Jack, the only thing I can figure is, as we all know, there's more to it than what we realize. I mean, go in there, and I think they're, my opinion, I think they're trying to build a solid case where they're going to snatch all of them, rather than try to bring them down one at a time. That would be my hope. If that's not what's going on, we see the fiasco that's been going on with the Epstein files and all that. They're going to release them, and then Trump said, well, there aren't even any files and all this kind of stuff. It's a, man, the lies, deception, and fears. A lot of that stuff that's going on. And I think what we have to do is we just have to kind of settle in, not believe everything that we've seen. Take for instance, the murder of Charlie Cook. Doug, I don't even know how to get on the internet anymore, because every time I go on the internet, there's another theory of what happened, of who shot him. I mean, they show you 17 different angles, and it was this guy, and it was that guy. And you know, we got AI, we got a lot of crazy stuff that's going on out there. We know that Satan is the author of confusion, and I think America's ripe with confusion right now. But I think Donald Trump is God's man. I don't know about the depth of his Christianity. I look at the people who are around him, Paula White and some others who are giving him godly counsel. We would have to admit, wouldn't we, Doug, at the beginning of this, when Donald Trump was president before, I don't think he had any idea who he could trust and didn't really understand the inward workings of the deep state and how it worked. And I think he got a real lesson then. And I hope he's learned his lesson. He's surrounded himself with people that he can trust. But, dude, I'm telling you, man, there's a lot of snakes out there, Doug. And I think I don't know what we're going to do, brother, other than pray. And I'll talk about that here in a second. But I think right now that Donald Trump's like a bouncer at a bar, man. And
No, I agree with you. And before we go any further, folks, I want you to pay attention to Coach Dave Dottmeyer, because I would turn to him as, you know, the left, they have their activists and they've got their plans and they've got their leaders. They're pretty cohesive in their actions. And us on the right, you know, with few exceptions, precious few exceptions, we're out there just like, you know, being blind or being in the dark and bumping into furniture for the most part. So I would urge everyone to follow and join up with Coach Dave Dottmeyer if you give a crap about your country, about the safety, security, and lifestyle of your family and your own and your offspring. hook up with Coach Dave Dobmeier. That said, Coach, can you give us your coordinates, your website, your presence, everything? Let us know how to hook up with you, where to find you. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, just go to CoachDaveLive.com. I'm Coach Dave, and I'm live, and you can connect to us there. We do a podcast every morning, 7 o'clock, live, interactive. We've built a real, be careful what we say here, Doug, because you never know who's listening, do you? We've built a real army of activists all across America. We've got guys in not all 50 states. And by guys, I'm just talking about common folk like me and you, Doug, who see what's going on in their communities and decided if things are going to change, that we're going to have to stand up and do something. And the reality of it is we have the worst Christian leadership in maybe three generations. I mean, I don't know how far you'd have to go back. But you look at what's going on. They're cutting off the penises of little boys and girls. They're indoctrinating our children and all kinds of stuff in our public schools, and not a peep from the pulpit. And so we're in the mess that we're in because those of us that to me that was the whole that was a Charlie Kirk effect that really impressed me. Doug, is 100 million people watched that. 100 million. And what does that tell us? It tells us they know something's wrong and they don't know where to go. That's what I think. And I think we're sitting on the precipice of the greatest, I don't know if it's going to be a revival, but the great advancement of the gospel, certainly in my lifetime and probably in the lifetime of most people that are watching here. And I see little patterns of it. It's going on with the younger folks. Doug, our generation, we've dropped the ball. You know, we got influenced by satellite TV. All those TV preachers that came on the name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. I can name the names. You can name the names. And all of a sudden, Christianity became about what the Lord could do for you. Life enhancement. It became a life enhancement gospel, which is exactly the opposite of what Jesus told us. He told us to lay down our lives, right? He told us to come and die. And Christianity during the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and beyond was life enhancement. And as a result of that, John Cooper, the old football coach at Ohio State, he said a line I never forgot. He said, they don't bite his puppies. They don't bite his dogs. And we have men who are standing in the pulpit that they didn't bite at puppies. They never learned to bite. They never learned to fight back. They never learned to stand up. They never learned to be controversial. And now when we need them so much, Doug, they can't do it. It's not in their nature. And that's why I think it's so critical for us to understand that the revival coming in America is coming outside of the American church. It's not going to happen in those four walls, brothers. It's coming outside the American church.
That does say something. It says a lot to me, which you just said. It's sad, but it also provides a measure of hope. Okay. I mean, I don't know if that makes sense. But you know, I want to, in my mind here, the first hour I mentioned about how we've been given the playbook of our enemies. And this is not a right left thing. This is not anything. At the end of the day, this is good versus evil. This is God versus Satan and us in the physical fighting on behalf of what is righteous. And everything that is perverse, and perversity right now appears to rule the day. Name the perversity, but it's perversion of the gospel, whether it's within or without. It's perversion of everything that we hold dear. And we have just said, yeah, you know, live and let live. And we are now living with that. I mean, there should be no moral ambiguity whatsoever.
I'm okay. You're okay, right, Doug?
Right.
And we're not okay.
We're not.
No.
And you were the first person that I know personally. You were the first person who said, you know, back when Obergefell was passed, this is only the beginning. And you were 100% right, because they didn't want just to, you know, legitimacy. No, they wanted to take away everything that's good, everything that's godly from us. Yeah. And here we are. And you said it first. And, you know, here we are. So I've got to say, folks, Coach Dave Dodmar was on this platform in his own, said it first, and laid out what exactly was going to happen, even to the point of what we're seeing today. And I want to thank you for that.
But Doug, thanks, Doug. But look what we've overcome. I'm talking about where we sit right now, today. Look what we've overcome. We overcame that COVID, that lying COVID, where they locked us down, kept us from communicating with each other. We survived all that, Doug. We've survived all kinds of assaults and attack upon our liberty, the J6ers being thrown in jail, the hatred of Christianity that is so apparent in the American government. We've weathered the storm through all that stuff, Doug, and now we're standing on the other side of it. I go back and I tell people, thank God Kamala Harris didn't get elected. Not for no other reason than, dude, a lot of us going to be in trouble because the government, the federal government at that point was out of control. They were arresting God-fearing men for doing nothing more than showing up in Washington, D.C. and exercising their God-given First Amendment right to petition their government for a redress of grievances. And by the hundreds, they arrested them and threw them in jail. The pulpits were silent. Nobody did anything about it. And Doug, had they been able to maintain power, who knows where we would be today, including me. But we weathered it, didn't we? We weathered COVID. We weathered all that stuff. We saw how wicked the medical industry is, the pharmaceutical industry. All of this stuff is being exposed to it. And Doug, we're on the other side of it, and we're still alive, and we're still here. And we have an opportunity now to finally begin to push back and bring some, let justice roll down like a mighty river. And you started out talking about Kash Patel and Dan Bongino. God help us. Lord, they're going to have to do something. But Doug, brother, that's going to be an upheaval. I think that's one of the reasons they haven't done anything. If you think they're going to try to walk in there and arrest Barack Obama, can you imagine the pushback from the Luciferian left? So I think everything that they're doing, they're trying to get all their ducks in order. That's what I think. But I'm like you, man. It's something's got to give. Doug, look, we're winning, Doug. We're winning. We are winning. You know why? I'm not so much a conspiracy theorist anymore. Much of what I said is true. I'm a conspiracy analyst. We are riding the wave, and I think the wave is going to begin to crack our way.
I like your optimism, and I think that's an optimism from a position of action. And again, folks, I've spent really the last two shows saying, here are the issues. Here's how deep the rot is. Here's what we are fighting for. Now, what are we going to do about it? So I've come to the conclusion, and this is why I'm so thankful for Coach Dave to come on tonight. CoachDaveLive.com, folks, please look, support this guy. I don't care what you got to do. Just support everything he does. Support him. Please support him, his mission, because he's really moving mountains. And I got to tell you, he's a hell of a lot better guy than I am, because I just, I'm like a hammer. Everything I see, every problem I see is a nail. Okay. And that's my approach to things. Whereas Coach Dave is a lot more methodical and effective, I might add.
Doug, I get up in the morning and I look on the wall, I'm hanging on the wall beside my bed. My wife and I's bed, we still sleep together, believe it or not. A lot of people tell me. And there's a picture of our 10 and a half grandchildren. It's the first thing I see when I wake up in the morning. And Doug, that's why I live, brother. That's why I live. And what kind of nation are we going to leave to them? Because they're the ones who are going to suffer the consequences of it. And this battle is so deep. And we've been in it so long, and we've been lied to so much that our greatest battle is trying to convince people that they've been fooled. They've been fooled about a lot of stuff. But again, the tide's turned. I run into people all the time. They say, you've been saying that. How did you know that? How did you know that? And that's why I think that we're seeing 100 million people.
Right.
What's Charlie? That's something, isn't it, Doug? 100 million.
100 million people. Now, I look at that, Coach, and help me out here, because you and I, obviously, we watched the events of 9/11, of 2001, and if you're old enough, you may remember the various assassinations, whether it was JFK, RFK, MLK, or whatever assassination, a select one, and then the attempted ones and the attempts on President Trump. But this, so I remember 9/11. I remember the churches filling up after 9/11. I remember people kind of at least grasping for some civility after 9/11. Some again, together, cohesiveness of purpose. So we just saw, as you said, 100 million tune into that memorial service. Is that going to last? I can last, but is it going to?
We have to make it last, don't we, Doug? And folks, we have to begin to realize, I don't think our churches have done a real good job of it, of convincing us that we're really in a spiritual war. And the Bible says that all those who hate me love death. Doug, look around. The left is all about death or the destruction of what we would call natural life. Everything they do is anti-Christian, right? And yes, it's because it's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual battle we're fighting. It's not Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative. That is not what the battle is. It's we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. Weapons are warfare, not carnal, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Doug, for the most part, the supernatural has left the American church. Now, there's a phony supernatural in it. You know, they dance around, wave flags and light shows and all that kind of stuff. And like they're trying to stir up something. When in fact, the supernatural is the infilling of the Holy Spirit in you to empower you to do things that you can't do on your own. And that includes stand up and speak the truth in places where they don't want to hear it. And they gave us a thing called hate speech and all that kind of, and it shut us up, right? Hate speech, right? And they gave us, oh my goodness, that word anti-Semite, really? What the heck? You can't criticize anybody on the other side. They're going to call you anti-something. So we're going to have to bone up and understand that it's part of the game, break through that game, and begin to press forward. Doug, if I could, I'd like to share something. I got right here. I don't know if you guys can see this or not. Doug, this is an unbelievable initiative that we've been doing, and I would like maybe, you probably can't see it. It's just a little rock, and it says Joshua 1, verse 3 on it. Joshua 1, verse 3. You know what we've been doing at Coach Dave Live, Doug? We've been, I don't mean to take over the show, Doug.
Please. I need this because otherwise I'm just going to tap out here. So go ahead.
Pull up number one there, Eric, if you could. I sent it to Eric. And what we've done, Doug, and what we have people doing all across America is we have them going out and we are taking little rocks like this. We're writing Joshua 1:3 on it. It says, everywhere you put your foot, I've given it to you as an inheritance. Only be strong and very courageous and be not afraid. And Doug, we have begun to go and stake our churches. What? Yes. We've gone back and we've begun to reclaim our churches for the cause of Christ. I've done about 35 of them myself. I've been kind of slacking lately, where we do nothing more than go prayer walk and drop a stone that we've written Joshua 1:3 on there, try to awaken the church out of its slumber. Because we all know this, that the solution to the problems we find ourselves in is the church, is God's people. But for a whole generation, Doug, I got sued by the American Civil Liberties, lost my football job for praying with a football team 20 some years ago. And look how far we have fallen. So the battle is a spiritual battle. And we've got people, I see up there on the screen now, Joshua 1:3. Folks, you can do this. If you would go to that website, Refiner's Fire, it's all laid out there how you do it. I carry rocks in my car everywhere I go, Doug. And now I've begun to stake, are you ready? Masonic temples. We've been able to stake the four corners of our city limits when we drive into the town. We've begun to stake the city councils, the mayor's office, begin to take authority over these things. Because if we really believe that it is a spiritual warfare, then, dude, we've got to invite God back into this battle or we ain't never going to win it, right? And we just, we change, we go to the ballot box and we vote and get the new boss, same as the old boss, and nothing ever seems to change. So we're believing for a revival within the American church. And that's what every one of you out there who are watching this show, this is so simple to do.
Yeah, no, Look, I understand that. And by the way, I'll show the viewers the information about that. But can you explain the power behind that? And it's more than a theory, folks. It's biblical. So
it is biblical.
So if you don't mind, because some people will say, "What is that? What are you doing, huh?" So if you can just dive into that a little bit, I'd appreciate that.
Again, Joshua 1 verse 3 says, every place you set your foot, I've given them to you as an inheritance. Folks, all of these places, especially our churches, all of these places used to belong to the Lord. Well, they don't seem to belong to the Lord anymore. They've been stolen. They've been whatever's happened. So that's why we started with the church, and we went and we prayer walked church, not our own churches, although we did do our churches. I went into downtown Columbus, Ohio. There's 12 of them, Doug, that you could pick up a stone and you could hit the capital of Columbus, Ohio with a stone that close to him. Old dead churches. We went out there, we prayer walked those, and we put stones down, and we called life back into those churches. And we know that we believe that from a supernatural standpoint, Satan, the enemy, has seized our territory. Much of our territory is not active in what it ought to be doing. And so we go back in obedience to what the Lord said. Every place you put your foot, we claim it as an inheritance. We go there, we put rocks down, we have a prayer that we say. I see you're holding the refiner's fire.
Yes, I just want to show everyone this is an offshoot of if you go to refinersfire2025.com.
Those are our guys, Doug. Those are our guys. Yeah. Right.
Get yourself some information. This pamphlet, I just got this today, actually. So, you talk about timing, but I read through this and it explains everything you're talking about. It's a great movement. But this is something we can do. For those saying, look, we need prayer. Yeah, we do, but we need action behind that prayer. And if you are, again, I have to put down my hammer. Okay. And grab one of these and mark the, you know, that's something we all can do. What you're doing, and I really appreciate that.
The gospel is very legalistic. By that I mean, whoever claims it gets it. It's very, very clear all throughout the scripture. And what we've seen happen to us, our schools have been stolen. We stake high schools. We stake public schools, elementary schools. We invite God back in. We in that refiner's fire pamphlet that you had, by the way, you can find it on the website, Refiner's Fire. We read it. We read scripture over it, and we put that rock down. We say, we claim this territory for the cause of Christ. Now, Doug, let me back up one, because we've been doing this for a while. About 2 years ago, I lose track of time. I'm getting so old. Doug, on the same weekend, we did this. We staked all 12 federal courts in America at the same time. We sent out 10 teams. I'm sorry, 12 teams, because there's 12 federal district courts, and we all went at the same time and prayer walked and staked and read our declarations over the 12 district courts in America, because we understand that's where it's all happening, isn't it, brother? The courts are above God, and so we staked those, we put the rocks down there, and we reclaimed them for the cause of Christ, and I think we're beginning to see some decisions in our courts go a different direction. So let your mind go wild of what you could do. If we want to reclaim proper land for Christ, well, let's go do it. Let's go do it. And people say, well, coach, what happens if somebody sees you doing it? I say, well, I tell them, I'm praying for the school. I'm praying for the government. You're allowed to do that in America, aren't you? And then you just drop a rock. We drop it at the four corners. Let me take it one step further, Doug. We tell people to do this in your children's bedroom. We tell them to do this, to tell them to do it in their own house. Mark the four corners of your house. Any wicked spirit, keep it out of there by dropping a rock. It sounds corny, doesn't it, Doug? But that's what Jesus, or at least in Joshua, that's what they told us to do, to go put our foot there and reclaim it for the cause of Christ. So, folks, I'd really encourage you out there, man, oh, man. It's just really giving me purpose. I get up in the morning, I got a bag of rocks with me. I'm driving down the road and I hear the Holy Spirit. I stake the Ohio Canal, which runs right here through, right? That was a means of transportation. Who knows what all came in through the Ohio Canal. We stake Buckeye Lake. We throw rocks and water, all that. And see, people will poo-poo it, but they don't understand that that's exactly legal right. Somewhere along the line, Satan got legal right to some of these things, Doug, and we got to take them back.
And to what you just said, you know, I've seen some amazing things in my life. So for over the last decade of my life, I have really become not convinced. I guess I didn't need convinced, but I see where Satan has made inroads in places you would never think, where the demonic has really taken over people, places, agenda. I mean, it's just, it's unbelievable. And then it was, probably 6 years ago, Eric and I had the privilege, and I mean that sincerely, the privilege of accompanying Coach Dave and his band of warriors, really spiritual warriors, to Hillary Clinton's house. And I'm going to tell you something. What happened there, now she's still loose, obviously. She's still running
wild. She never became president, though, did she, Doug?
That is exactly right. Because, yes, she never did. And then, of course, so many things I've seen you do have been consequential. And I'll add one more thing. The Georgia Guidestones. Can you tell people, because this blows my mind. I mean, really, it really doesn't, I guess. But I understand the power of that prayer, of action, and God recognizing your pleas. Because I'll just say this. You know, if you see a murder victim, this is how you see a murder victim, what's the question? Well, who's the last person to see him alive? Okay. Well, with the Georgia Guidestones, who's the last people to see him upright? but it's prayer, okay? It's spiritual.
Let me tell that story, Doug. So
please,
all the years run together for me. We've been doing this for a while. Listen, folks, look, if you're out there right now and you're really genuinely concerned about what's going on, plug in with us. We'll put you in the game. We'll get you in. We'll try not to get you in trouble. Sometimes it just kind of happens. But one of the things that back in the election, when they stole the election from Donald Trump, if you remember, Georgia was very important. They were going to count the Georgia ballots to see what's going on. We know that whole thing, how that played out anyway. And we were aware of the Georgia Guidestones. I don't know how many people of you know those out there, but it was a monument built out in the middle of a field that was pretty anti-Christian. And again, we believe in strongholds, spiritual strongholds. So I got a hold of our guys and our gals. I said, listen, we're going to go down and we're going to, prayer walk those Guidestones. And they jumped in their cars and drove down like they always do. We were down about probably 150 people from all over America came, and we prayer walked the Guidestones. We dropped stones down there. We salted the property, and we put our buddy Dale brought a big version of the Ten Commandments. He stood those up against them, and a big cross went high. And we prayed, and we reclaimed that for the cause of Christ. And Doug, I was home about 2 weeks later, getting ready to do my show in the morning. I turned the thing on, and I could not believe what I saw as the Georgia Guidestones came tumbling down. Now, we don't know what caused them. We didn't do it. We went and we prayed them down. We don't know whether somebody blew them down. We don't know whatever. We know this, Doug. The amazing thing, after those Guidestones came down, there was no police investigation. They just kind of scraped them all out and covered up the hole and moved on with it. So yeah. We can take credit for it. We claim it. We believe that we did that. The power of God showed up and tore those things down. And so we think that the Bible's true, and every place you put your foot, he's gonna answer that prayer. So we'd encourage people. We do this stuff all the time. It's fun. And we would love to, I'm doing some recruiting. We'd love for some of you folks out to be on our team. We got little branches all across America, people who are doing stuff. And I could run down a litany. In fact, I wrote it down here real quick, Doug. We got a group that started the Refiner's Fire. And I think we just talked about that. The Liberty Action Network, which connects people and everything that we're doing. We have Saving God's Children. Man, is that, I ought to get Craig on. You ought to talk to him. It's about the child trafficking and all the folks, who's going to do this stuff? Because look, our church, churches are not going to do it. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. So we say, okay, we're going to do it. And we're going to step into the arena, and we're going to engage the enemy for the cause of Christ. And lo and behold, we start getting takedown after takedown, Doug. And we believe that God works through his people. And he will not work if his people don't go and put a demand on their faith. And so that's kind of stuff we try to do.
I'm telling you what, folks, if you really want, look, I recognize this is a spiritual war. I know the core audience of this platform recognizes this. So here's my plea to everyone. Please hook up with Coach Dave. He's got just a marvelous, really an organization, and you'll fit in to any one or more of the places that that he's developed for you and has for you. So please, CoachDaveLive.com, and
we tell people, we pick up where the church left off. Folks, yes, you don't have to do it. But if you're really, really concerned about, and you want to get involved, and your pastor isn't doing anything, go ahead, get a hold of us. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to pay any dues. You don't have to do anything, but we will give you an opportunity to get involved. And in fact, sometimes we call some people and they say, hey, this is going on in our town. What is it we can do about it? And then we'll organize something down there for them to be able to do it. This, Doug, is not rocket science, brother. It really isn't.
You know, and I appreciate the fact that it's not. And this takes you back to the basics, folks. And, you know, sometimes we get so far over our skis that we forget about the basics. And this is something that we all can take part in. And Coach, I support you. And look, I know you have an early morning, obviously, to get ready for. I know that you're a little bit under the weather coming out of it. So I don't want to take more of your time, but I want to thank you for all that you do and for being there as a leader in this movement, in this.
Hey, Doug, at some point on the great by and by, I think we're all going to stand before the Lord and give an account for all that we did, right? Mm-hmm. You don't get into heaven through works. Right. The Bible speaks a lot about works. Bible says each one is judged according to his works. That's in Revelation 21:8. All judged according to their works. And when I stand on the other side, I want to know that I did my damnedest to advance the kingdom of God for the sake of my children and my grandchildren. And for all those veterans who laid down their lives, as you were speaking about earlier, laid down their lives that this nation might live, and to see exactly what have happened to it, how we've trampled on the blood of those guys who laid it all down for us. And I believe in the depth of my heart that the church's greatest days are ahead of us. Now, a lot of people get tied up into the end time theology, the rapture's coming, yada, yada. Doug, I'm 72 years old. I could be dead tomorrow. We know how that is, right? Yeah. I can't live my life for a rapture. I have to live my life to make sure that little Annie and David and me and Macy and Jenna, that they all have a better world when I step out of this, right? Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. And I would say this to you, folks. If you're struggling with your church and you don't have a pastor, plug in with us, man. We got a group of people that will love on you and encourage you and strengthen you and pray for you. As I said, we pick up where the church left off.
And you fulfill such an important, or you serve an important role just by doing that, but you do so much more. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for you, for your organization. And by the way, for your lovely wife who, is a big part of the movement. Amen. The organization. God bless your love. I love her to death. And your beautiful family. I just so appreciate you and everything that you've done, the sacrifices, the legal stuff that you could, Man, I'll tell you what, it's always, you know, you're always getting hit by lawsuits and whatever. But
either up or getting up, Doug. I'm either up or getting up, and that's the way you live.
Huh? That's right. That's right. I love it. All right. Well, Coach, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it. But folks, I beg of you, if you're listening to this, watching this, I don't care what day it is, what time it is, if it's 2 days, 2 weeks hence from now, remember CoachDaveLive.com. Let's hook up with him every morning at 7 o'clock, of course, Eastern time. You can hook on through CoachDaveLive.com. And I urge you to do so, but support that man. And I appreciate your gracious gift of time, Coach. I really do.
Doug, we'll put him in the game, buddy. We'll put him in the game, right?
God bless you, my friend. All right. Thanks for being on.
Yes, sir.
All right. Folks, amazing man. I'm going to tell you what. You know, I speak a lot of those who we don't have the men who have been stellar in my life, like, you know, Rust is or who passed away. But, you know, the men who really are making a difference, they continue to make a difference. Coach Dave Law or Coach Dave, I'm telling you what, if you recognize the spiritual nature of the battle in which we find ourselves, you will appreciate CoachDaveLive.com. That's his website. It'll be in the program description box. I want to just end this here. I thank him for coming on, and I know that, hey man, you know, I'll just say this. Okay. I know that he runs 24/7. He runs hot all of the time. God bless that man. But I'll tell you what, sometimes you just gotta take it a little easy, right? All right. So there's something else. Excuse me. There's something else that I really think that should be mentioned. Let me just see this here. One of the issues, and this might seem like a, why are you talking about this? Well, okay. You know, we obviously, when you look at the attempted assassination and the homicide and what happened to two other individuals in Butler, if you look at that and you look at, of course, what happened with Charlie Kirk, and you look at what happened with so many other people. And I mentioned Andrew Breitbart before. We accept, you know, people accept, okay, this was a heart attack, you know, move on. I should mention this in the Charlie Kirk thing, the homicide of Charlie Kirk, the murder, the assassination. You mean to tell me, I'm just curious here. And now this chat, and Eric the Tech, or if you know, help me out here. Because I've heard that there was no autopsy conducted. Have you heard that? Can anyone verify that for me? And by verify, I'm not talking about, yeah, I just saw that on Facebook. No. Is that true? Because look, I've got close contacts, okay? I've got a lot of contacts. And one individual who is extremely close to Charlie Kirk. I just heard this today, and I you know what? I'm not going to ask him because given the relationship, I'm not going to ask him. But is that true that there was no autopsy conducted? Folks, do you know? Again, for those who know, I'm asking. And Eric the Tech, if you know, let me know. I mean, have you heard this? Don't know about that. Okay, constitutionally. Thank you. We've seen it said, Doug, on in X, but that's X, Twitter, whatever, X, yeah. Okay. That if that is true, and there are issues about this because of there are issues with respect to making that information public, okay? From a realistic point of view, you've got to balance the wishes and feelings of the family with the public, against the public's right to know. All right. And I've run across this before. Actually once, not in recent memory, just one time, where, you know, releasing certain information would not serve any public interest. But in this case, I suppose you could release a statement about that particular, about the autopsy, and it'd be okay. If it was done properly, it'd be okay. But here's my concern. If there was none done, if it was not done, as far as I know, every county in the U.S. or parish in the U.S., every county or parish, in an unattended death or a homicide, it is law that a post-mortem exam, that is autopsy, is done. Now, could that county in Utah be an exception? I don't think so, but maybe it is. I don't know. I'm not, but I know everywhere I have worked in my professional capacity, it was law. Now, again, unattended death. Do I need to go into that? Because I feel that's kind of a waste of time. But I'll just suffice to say this: if you're under doctor's care and you've got some chronic conditions and you happen to pass away while your spouse is getting groceries, that's different. Okay. In that case, it's up to like the ME of your county or the coroner, because usually there's some conversation with the doctor and so on. So I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about clear case of homicide or an equivocal death type investigation. You need to have an autopsy done. So if there wasn't one done, I want to know why. I really want to know why. So that's one thing I maybe, but I'm not going to take the word on social from people on social media, and I'm certainly not going to trouble the friends and family of Mr. Kirk. But I'll find out, and if that's true, boy, there's some questions that need to be answered. And one last thing about that. I look at it this way: if I were to be Kash Patel, or if I was in that position, and or Dan Bongino or whoever, and my friend, let's say it was Steve on stage or whatever, and that happened, I cannot in my head imagine not doing everything in my power to get to the truth, to identify exactly what happened. Not a story, but the story. And that's something that I think we all should consider. Is it happening? Did it happen? And if not, why not? What could possibly override the desire for truth? I'm just asking, like, what would override that desire for truth? Now, you know something? Okay, look, I've seen all of the Jew bashing stuff, and to me, that's akin to saying, if you talk about the criminal element within our own government, you're talking about Christians, okay? Because I'm just saying we have to, I understand that the nation state actors at that level, I understand that, but you cannot indict an entire religion. And I say religion because that is a religion, as opposed to Islam. And I want to make this clear, because I saw a comment in the Rumble section. When I spoke about Islam yesterday, I want to make this very clear. Islam is not a religion. It is a system. It is a political system wrapped up, disguised as a religion. Okay. And I think there is something to be said about, for example, Mossad and CIA. Obviously the works, the dark works of the intelligence agencies, regardless of where they're at, they don't necessarily represent any religion you hear. I mean, any faith, legitimate faith. Maybe I bungled that, but I'm not going to indict, let's say, my neighbor three doors down who's a Jewish man of faith and say, you know, you're responsible for everything from, I mean, for everything. Everything is bad. No. Because he's not. But that's different. And if you say this is wrong, it's different than Islam. Because if you are a pure Muslim and you follow the Quran, and you kind of know what the Quran says, it's different. Because that is a book that demands, if you're pure to that system of belief, that demands certain things of you. And nothing about it is constitutional. Nothing about it. I mean, you cannot coexist with any other faith or any law of any country except theirs. So I'm just saying there's a difference there. All right. I'm not sure I did that justice, but there it is. Okay. So I want to just address this. There's a lot to be said right now with, you think back to Butler. Liberty Daily, and Eric the Tech, if you can go to Liberty Daily, the death in apartment 603, what happened to Ellen Greenberg? You might think that this has nothing to do with anything, but it does. I saw this earlier, and I've known about this for quite some time. ABC News is going to be airing a documentary about a Pennsylvania woman. She was Ellen Greenberg. Now, she was stabbed 20 times, but her death was ruled a suicide under Josh Shapiro, who was then attorney general. Now, Greenberg was a 27-year-old Philadelphia teacher. She taught first grade and was found dead in January of 2011 in her apartment with only 20 stab wounds. And, of course, her death was ruled a suicide. Now, there's a three-part documentary coming out. The title of the documentary is Death in Apartment 603, What Happened to Ellen Greenberg? Now, I want to say one thing, and you can keep that up there, but I want to say one thing. I remember when I was with EMS getting called to a house, and people found this hard to believe, but I mean, I was there. Okay, so there was a gentleman who was suffering from a neuromuscular disease, decided to take his own life. He was in his 50s. I will never forget this day. And he went down to his basement, and he had a handgun. It was a 22. And he was struck twice. What actually happened was he took the gun, he put it up to his head, and because he was unable to hold the weapon steady, one shot just glanced off of the back of his head. It was a 22 revolver. Now, the second shot, however, did it. Okay. So perhaps a headline could read, man shoots, shot twice in the head. It was a suicide, ruled a suicide. Okay. If you understand, of course, what happened, as I just explained it to you, does that make more sense? Yes or no? Yes, obviously. Now, in this case, don't tell me that somebody is stabbed 20 times. Now, could someone, you know, slightly cut themselves 20 times in it, like a cry for help or whatever the case. Yes, yes, yes. But if you know the backstory here, that's not the case. You cannot explain this away. So the question becomes this. What the hell? I mean, simple as that. You're telling me that a woman was stabbed 20 times and there was more than one potential fatal stab wound. So it's not as if, again, it's not like we're talking, you know, something surface level. No, 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 no. This is something more than that. So I don't know what this documentary is, but this was brought up again. And the reason I think this is important is because we must never allow the truth, or we must never allow justice for anyone. We must always seek justice for those who cannot speak for themselves. This woman obviously cannot speak for themselves, which brings me to my last. So I'm keeping, look, there is a lot of tomfoolery, to say it nicely, going on with that investigation. The reason it's important, if you look at what Shapiro did, I'll just say with Butler, this is not, I mean, Butler, for his actions with respect to what happened in his home state, not out of character. Because if you go back 14 now, how did he handle this investigation, this prosecution, when he was tasked with that very thing? Just saying. And why are they bringing this up now? Why now? Why are they writing about this now? I really want you to think about that. Why the interest on this now? Do you think maybe it has something to do with not just justice, but the actions of Shapiro, both then and around maybe Butler? Just saying, just asking the question. All right. Eric the Tech, on my show prep yesterday, and I wanted this, everyone to see this. This is something, that I really want people to know and see, because I've always said that the blood of children is the currency, and children is the currency of the globalists. And people kind of blow off, and I think people don't understand how deep the problem is with respect to the trafficking of children. And when you look at the NGOs involved, especially under the Biden regime, but go a little bit further up, or go a little bit dig a little bit deeper and look at, this is a name we haven't heard in a long time. Whatever happened to, what was his name? Homeland Security Chief? You know who I'm talking about. Alejandro Mayorkas. We don't hear that name anymore. Why? When are we going to hold him to account for the trafficking that he was responsible for? Now, from yesterday's show notes, this is Cut 14. This is Tim Tebow with Sean Ryan. And I think this is an important segment to end on. Have you seen this? If not, watch this. It's only a minute long. But look at the graphic. Look at what we're fighting. Look at what people aren't talking about. This is video 14 from yesterday's show notes. Eric the Tech, if you can, go ahead and hit it.
Every red dot on that map is at least one unique IP address of individuals downloading, sharing, distributing child abuse and rape images under the age of 12. And there's over 111,000 of them just in the U.S. of the last 30 days. And I wanted to bring that because I think it brings to life, so much of the evil that we're trying to face. And people will say, well, that's just over there and it's in those countries and it's all of those places. And it's not. Sean, it's right here in our backyard. It is right here. And out of everyone, and some people will say they're just downloading and sharing it and distributing it. But they're not. 55 to 85% are also hands-on offenders. And your average offender has 13 victims in their lifetime. 13 victims. Every one of those red dots, there's a boy or girl that is suffering on the other end of what they're sharing, downloading, or distributing.
And folks, you can watch that entire interview. That's Tim Tebow with Sean Ryan. But the fact of the matter is, this is something that we've known, that Shatter Ops saved them. The organizations that we work with, Vets for Child Rescue, that's the problem that we have been working. And I know that Shatter Ops saved them. Vets for Child Rescue have done a tremendous amount of work on the ground to save many just this year. I'm not going to attempt a number, but in the double digits. I mean, actual on the ground, kicking butt and saving children. Kinetic type action. Save Them is international in scope, and they've done a lot here in the U.S. as well as South Africa and elsewhere. And I'm honored to be a part of that effort, as well as Shatter Ops, the Russ's team. I'm very proud to be a part of those efforts as well, and to see what they've done and what they've, but just to see the difference they have made. And you know, one last thing. People say, well, the problem's so massive. You're really not making it that big of a difference. Well, you are, especially when you see a child who has been abused, literally shackled and caged. It just breaks your heart. But when you see them being taken from that environment and given back to, or reunited with, or provided with some level of sanctuary, and to see them adapt to a normal life, they had no idea what normal was. But to see that change, man, I'll tell you something. It strikes you right here in the heart. And I want to thank everyone for, again, supporting Shatter Ops and Save Them, and the various groups that we work with, Vets for Child Rescue. And, you know, I'll just say one last thing. The bigger difference that they make, the more people try to take them down. And please understand, there's a lot of BS out there about Craig Sawyer, for example. Don't believe any of it.